I've been listening to Backgrounds lately. It all started when I was doing research for a piece on Yasha Heifetz. I'd heard stories about how cruel he was to his accompanist, Brooke Smith, how he'd send him out for sandwiches, for example, and how he made Smith call him Mr. Heifetz, even after a 20-year partnership. So I tried to find out more about Smith. I looked him up in the New Groves Dictionary of Music and Musicians. Nothing. Seems incredible. Nothing on many of the great accompanists. For the next 7 minutes, let's not listen to the soloists. Let's listen to the piano players behind them.
It turned out to be something that I feel that I was meant to do.
It was just one of those things.
Mike Renzi thought he wanted a career as a solo jazz pianist, and then he found himself even happier playing piano behind Mel Torme, Peggy Lee, Lena Horne, Maureen McGovern, Jack Jones.
I even did 8 weeks with Sinatra, one-nighters.
And like all musicians who play with others, he's had to negotiate his way around a lot of different styles and personalities.
There are certain things that you would play for all singers, a bed of music that you would lay down for the same way for all of them.
After that, you individualize.
Let's use Maureen McGovern, for example. Maureen has a fabulous instrument with maybe 4 octaves. I know when she gets up in the higher zone, it's going to be very gentle, and she takes her time phrasing. So I would play some colors and not a lot of frill. Lena, it had to always have a nice bassy groove, you know, so that more so than with, say, Peggy Lee or Maureen or Mel. So what you do is you listen to how they phrase, adjust to what they like, and that's how you do it.
That was Renzi at the piano in all 3 versions, grappling with the complexities of accompanying.
If you don't mind, I take exception to the term accompanying.
Warren Jones is a distinguished pianist who's played with Håkan Håkagard, Ruth Ann Swenson, Samuel Ramey, some of the most gifted singers and instrumentalists in the field. He has surprised singers and audiences by playing song recitals with the piano wide open.
It was not engineered to be played with the lid closed up any more than singers were meant to sing with socks in their mouth. I believe that we are pianists. We are playing the piano and we are making music equally with our partners. I mean, I can easily play under anybody's volume with the lid up, down, or in the middle.
Warren Jones likes to remind people that playing music with others is difficult. Paradoxically, it is in some ways more difficult than playing alone.
Many people who play solo piano music by themselves on the stage, they aim to play beautifully. For this job that we are talking about now, making music with others, that is truly an entry-level skill. You have to be that accomplished just to begin to consider the other aspects of the job, like the balance with some other person, the texture, the voicing. I mean, take your pick. There's an endless, infinite number of considerations that one goes into with every different person that one makes music with. You have to find the balance of when to assert your ego and when to lose your ego.
And that's even before you play a note. Then you have to do what's needed, which is constantly changing.
Well, let's say a song like Death and the Maiden of Schubert. It's a one-page song, and for all of its brevity and simplicity, it is an entirely different song every time a different artist sings and a different artist plays. Keep thine heart, du schön und zart gewinnt, bin Freund und komme nicht zur Stunde. One looks at the voicing in the piano in an entirely different fashion and plays the textures differently.
accompanists Jeffrey Parsons, Malcolm Martineau, Martin Katz, and Franz Rupp, or I should say collaborative pianists, which is the PC term now for accompanists, especially in schools.
Somebody a few years ago just sort of thought, you know, it's enough is enough. We're collaborators. We're playing. It's not a recital for violin with no piano.
Irma Vallecillo is a classical accompanist who's the chair of the New England Conservatory of Music's accompanist division. 7 years ago, there was one student in the program. This year, 24 students were awarded master's degrees in accompanying.
There is still a stigma attached to it. You know, people who are really, really wonderful solo pianists. What happens when they go into accompanying programs is I think they get frustrated because the rest of the world doesn't see them anymore as so-called good pianists. When they start looking for pianists to go play an important recital, they go and look for solo pianists. It's like, oh, then we want a pianist, and now they're not a pianist anymore.
Despite the stigma, dedicated pianists love this work. Gerald Moore wrote about the joy that comes from perfect teamwork, and most agree.
Even if you turn out to be the most fabulous concerto soloist in the world, you will benefit from having played Schubert songs with people. I hope that, you know, everyone that has the chance will experience this kind of music making.
If you love what you're doing, it sort of feels like, okay, this is going to be good. And you don't feel like you're doing anything subordinate. You feel like, this is great. I'm very satisfied making these colors and creating this orchestration, so to speak, underneath the solo line.
So next time you listen to the background, and it will jump right out at you. And remember that behind every Yasha Heifetz, there's a Brooke Smith. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.